before that, in a land far, far away. It was much colder there, but we have had a personal familiarity with one another, acquaintances for exactly that many years. too many to put out on the air there, but he is a precious brother in the Lord, and so we would love to have you come and be a part of. Let me tell you just real quick what our 69th anniversary looked like. That was last year. Last year, we had the opportunity. We were presented with a need, was what actually happened. We were presented with a need of a church in Mexico that had no working, or it had one barely working restroom, did not have a roof. And I guess maybe it had some palm fronds that were intermittently spaced, and the church was still ministering in the community. And so we had the opportunity to present that need to our congregation, and it was presented. I said, well, actually, y'all need a roof. And they said, actually, we need a restroom. And the restroom project was $3,000. The roof project was $5,000, and our church raised $9,000, which I didn't know at the time that there was an exchange rate and bank fees and all of that sort of stuff. I didn't really realize how complicated it was going to be to be able to get the resources down there to them. But after quite some time of and requesting some help from people on the ground there, we were able to get the funds to them. And by I think it was November or December, they had the bathrooms built, they had the roof on, and it has been a major blessing to that community. And the church has been growing as a result of that. People have complimented the pastor and saying, you know, I can feel the presence of God here wherever I go. And so who knows what the opportunity that we will have that comes up in the latter part of the year for us to be a blessing. But I'm confident that God will have something for us that we will be able to be a blessing. I want to give a shout out today to some people who've been a blessing to me. Dan and Treasure from Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. They blessed me by helping me with my yard last year. They helped me with my irrigation pump and landscaping and sod, and they just did a great job. And then earlier this year, we had them help us with some projects at the church, and they will do a great job for you. You know, that's their specialty. I've got a philosophy in life, and that is defer to expertise. Surround yourself with people smarter than you are. Get out of their way and let them do their thing. And that generally works out pretty well for me. Not always, but most of the time. And if you are looking to improve your landscaping, maybe you need some pavers or something like that to be placed around, I want to encourage you to call Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. They are great people, love Jesus. Dan and Treasure, the people that I dealt with, they love Jesus and are a blessing to Merit Assembly of God. They were a blessing to me personally, and I have every confidence that they will be a blessing to you should you choose to use their services. 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be awesome. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12 today. We didn't get very far on yesterday's program, but I won't read quite so much. I'm going to read down to a pivotal moment in the passage. But in verse number 41 of Luke chapter 12, it says, "Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his servant will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Okay, so yesterday we talked about the importance of moving from an ownership mindset to a stewardship mindset. We talked about being faithful and how that sets us up to see the faithfulness of God, and that we should conduct ourselves in wisdom. I think that far too often the church has been accused of not operating in wisdom. I believe that that ought to change. I believe that the people of God ought to be the wisest people in the community. I believe that they ought to be the wisest people in the business marketplace. I believe that they ought to be the wisest people at home. And I believe that they ought to be the wisest people in government. And so I'm of the mindset we don't need fewer Christians in government. We need more Christians in government because we need the wisdom of God. God knows how to govern people in a righteous and upright manner, and we need more of that going on in our society. So we talked about those three things. Now let's look at what verse 42 continues to say, whom his master will make ruler over his household, whom his master will make ruler over his household. The first thing I will say is God can make you more than you could ever make yourself. Okay. I've talked to you before about the spiritual gifting test and how they test people to find out, you know, where their natural giftings are. But I want to encourage you that God can grow you beyond those gifting sets. He can make you a better husband. He can make you a more faithful employer or a more faithful employee. He can make you smarter than you've been, more creative than you've been. He can make you into that. I'm a living testimony to that. I used to be a monotone speaker, word for word, verbatim, manuscript. I would read it. I was holding on to the pulpit just so I wouldn't fall over. And God has radically changed. I was a quiet person that could be in a room filled with people. I could go over there and hold the wall up in case the 2x4s decided to sag a little bit. That was my personality. I was just comfortable there. And now I'm the type of guy, you know, my kids went with me one time to a minister's meeting from Assemblies of God ministers from all over the country. And they came back and they said to my wife, Mom, Dad knows everybody. Because I couldn't go 10 or 15 feet without stopping and having a conversation with somebody. God can make you into what he needs you to be to fulfill the purpose that he created you for. I want you to understand that. So not only does he have the potential to make you what you could never make yourself to be, but he will appoint you to the position that he wants you to be. So I am always very, very cautious around people who are an authority unto themselves. I am very leery of people who do not have authorities over them. Heard too many stories, and it's not just in the church, or not just outside of the church, but sometimes it's inside churches as well, where there is no person in authority over them. I have a board that I'm accountable to. I have a membership I'm accountable to. I have a district superintendent, a general superintendent, a presbyter. All of those are people that keep me on the straight and narrow. But I don't look at them as restrictive. I don't look at them as a liability. I look at them as an asset and a blessing from God. I recognize that God has deposited wisdom and skill sets inside of them that they may have learned some things along the way that may benefit me when I need it. So I gave up complaining about authority a long time ago and reverted to start thanking God for those in authority. Never forget that anything you have, any authority that you have, it needed to be given to you by God or assigned to you by a person that God wanted to give that authority to you. Okay? It needs to either be directly from God or it needs to be delegated by somebody who got that permission. But for whatever you do, don't be the sole authority in your life. That will set you up for deception. It will set you up for vulnerabilities and a fall if you're not careful. That's why everybody needs a pastor. Everyone needs a pastor. So my district superintendent, I don't call him district superintendent. I call him pastor. You know why? Because he's my pastor. So in May, we had our district council, and he was one of the speakers. He speaks into my life. There's been times when my wife was having a procedure, and he literally called in the hospital, and he said, now mind you, he is not, you know, all that close by. He's an hour and a half away. He said, Brother Bob, I am so sorry that I can't be there, but I want you to know that we are praying for your wife, that she will be healed and come through this procedure wonderfully. That's the type of pastor that he is. He prays for us by name. And it's not like there's, you know, a few. There's like, I think almost 1,100 ministry families here in just in our part of Florida, and he calls us out by name. You need to have a pastor in your life. You also need to realize what has been given to you is given to you for you to accomplish the purposes for which you have been assigned that task. So I preached a message, let's see, when was that? It was before Memorial Day. I preached a message on that we were saved to serve. We are saved to serve. And how that everybody has a ministry that God wants them to fulfill. It's not just for the pastor. And part of our service is that we serve and to the glory of God, and we serve in such a way that we liberate other people to serve in the capacity that they've got. And one of those is that I'm called to pray and preach the word. And I preach the word a lot. I preach the word a lot. I don't go back and listen to really old Refresh Radio broadcasts very often, but I can tell in myself that my voice is much lower, and that's because over the last 8.5 years I've preached a lot here on the radio. Even though this is more conversational style, it's still using my vocal cords for the glory of God, because that's what God has opened the door for me to do. So the master made the ruler over his household. And this is what he said, to give them their portion of food in due season. This steward was assigned the responsibility to give to the other servants of the household their portion. I've got good news for you today. You have not been forgotten by God. You have a portion. You have an inheritance. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And God has blessed you with people who are going to make sure that you get the things that God wants you to get. Okay? You do not have to be jealous of what other people receive from God. You don't have to be coveting their portion, because God has people that he has assigned to make sure that you get the portion that God has for you. So I can celebrate when you get your healing, because I know that means my healing is coming as well. I can celebrate when your family member gets saved because I know my family members are going to get saved as well. Now, I'm very thankful. All of my nuclear family, all of them are saved. I've got some extended family members that are still in bondage, but I can still pray in faith because I see other people receive an inheritance of their entire household being saved on a regular basis. So I can say, God, it hasn't happened yet, but that just means that due season is coming soon. Okay? In our household, just give you a little bit of an insight into how things work. In the Arthur's household, we used to live in the country before we moved to Florida. We only had one automobile, and I worked 81 miles away from work or from home. It was a lot of miles. I just want to take just a moment and thank the Lord that I don't drive 81 miles to work each way right now when gas is so crazy expensive. That just wouldn't work. And so I can find a reason to praise God if you give me just a second. But what happened was, this was back before debit cards and all that sort of stuff. And so I was operating the checkbook as if the money was there to pay the bills. What I didn't realize that my wife was also using the checkbook to buy the groceries. And so we quickly realized that not every entry was getting in there. And so we had to adjust. And so there are things that she has part of the budget, and she operates from that. And I make sure to pay the bills. So paying the bills is one of the things that I do. And I keep a spreadsheet and the due dates and all of that sort of stuff, because I want to make sure that when something is due, it gets paid on time. Not that she couldn't. She's excellent with spreadsheets. She deals with finance on a regular basis. It's just that she's always had the grocery side of things, and I've had the bill paying side of things. Now, I want you to realize that God has a time frame for everything. And he wants to make sure that you get everything that you need on a daily basis. Now, I'll throw in one more little thing here. Don't forget seasons. Seasons come and seasons go. And there's a song I heard on the radio. I believe it's by Francesca Battistelli. And it talked about when she dreamed about her life when she was a kid. It was always sunshine. It was always smiles. And it never had rain and never had tears, never had frowns or any of that sort of stuff. And as she grew, she realized that there were seasons in the life. The seasons are designed to get us to grow. There are blessings in each one of those types of seasons. And so remember that God told Noah there would be springtime and harvest, summer and winter. And so don't forget that if you're going through a time period, don't think that it is going to be forever discouraging. It's not going to be forever in the desert. There's a season. There's a season. And so this steward was designed to make sure that the workers, all of the employees, all those that the master was taking care of, that they were provided for in due season. And it says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Okay? The first thing that I want to tell you is the master is coming. I don't know when, but I know that he's coming. He said he was coming, and he will come. When he told the people in the Old Testament that he was coming, the Messiah was coming, They didn't recognize it. They had questions. Some suspected that he might be him, but for the most part, they did not recognize, nor did they accept, but tended to reject the Messiah when he came. Now, if you're like me, the time frame that God operates in is different than the time frame you would prefer him to operate in. But I just want to remind you, he does all things well. And so you need to live today. You need to live this weekend. You need to live next week and the month after that with this reality in mind. Jesus is coming. He's coming as a thief in the night, and you've got to be ready. There's no, hold on just a minute. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those situations. Okay, are we ready to walk out the door? Yes, we're ready to walk out the door. Hold on just a minute. I forgot something. Hold on just a minute. I'm not quite ready. Hold on just a minute. I just knocked the phone off of the hook there. In case you wonder if I talk with my hands in here, thank God for sturdy phones. But my hands are moving, and for the most part, I spend most of my time in here all by myself. So he's coming, but you've got to be ready, because when he comes, he's coming in the twinkling of an eye. So you got to be prepared. And the other thing is, when he comes, you need to be found faithful, doing what he's called you to do and fulfilling the task that he's assigned you to do. So I told you, I didn't grow up in a preacher's household. I grew up in a pipe fitter's household. It was construction. It was during, I was in my parents' household during one of the worst economic times of my lifetime. And construction was hit or miss, and interest rates were really, really high. And as a result of that, construction kind of came and went. But I always had something to do. Always had something to do. So when I became, when God opened the door for me to get into selling shoes, which is what I did for over a decade, I told my employees what I expected of them. When I was leaving, I was saying, okay, this was what needs to be done tonight. You know, when we'd get there every morning, okay, this is what needs to be done today. And that's how we would conduct ourselves. And so my wife worked the stock room for me. She unpacked the boxes and all of that sort of stuff. And she came to me one day and she said, you know that the employees don't do what you assign to them at night, don't you? I said, I know that. Because I would know how much the sales were when I left, and I'd know how much the sales were when I came in the next morning. And I also knew what I had told them to do, and I knew that it was still needing to be done the next day. And so I knew really where I stood with them. But I will tell you that when Jesus comes, he wants to find us fulfilling the assignment that he's given us to do. And when that happens, there is a reward. I've got this note written down. Everything that Jesus commands us to do is a test. Will you be faithful? Will you be dependent upon God to fulfill that task? Will you be obedient? Because if you do, this is the spiritual truth that it says, truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Every assignment is a test. You know what I couldn't trust the people who didn't do what I said to do? I couldn't trust them with anything of significance because I knew it wouldn't get done. Because they demonstrated it day in and day out. Great people, great salesmen, but I couldn't trust them to, you know, do some of the assignments. I never want God to be able to say about Merit Assembly of God, about me or about you, God, they're not going to do it. When he said, go into all the world, I realize that I'm not a bench setter. You're not a bench warmer. You're an active participant. You are God's A team. There's no B team. There's no backup plan. It's been entrusted to us to contend for the faith and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we need to be doing that. If you're not actively involved in the Great Commission, I pray that you will, because there's a day coming and you really want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Truly, I tell you, walk in obedience. Do what you've been appointed to do. Take care of the people around you the way that you've been told to take care of them, and do it to the glory of God, and do it and do it and do it and do it day in and day out until he shows up. And then when that happens, he says, I've got greater things in mind for you. Pass the test. Go on to greater things. The people that know their God will do great exploits. Be one of those people. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.